to keep your lovely face ever before my eyes. This is my prayer, oh Lord, make it my sole delight that in my sacred heart no and I'll serve only you. To keep your lovely face ever before my eyes, this is my the center of it all. It's you that I see. It's you that I see. At the center of it all, it's you that I see. I know. center of it all. It's you that I see. It's you that I see. Oh Lord, we thank you. Father, we exalt you. Thank 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 you. You are more than what we call you. You are more than words can say or describe. But we exalt you tonight. We thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for tonight. Thank you for this time. Thank you because we are changed. We are transformed. Even as by your word, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't God wonderful? Isn't he wonderful? Wonderful. You forgot it. Wonderful. Isn't Jesus my Lord? Eyes have seen, ears have heard, it's recorded in God's word. Yeah, you are spoiling my tune. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Welcome to the School of Miracles for the month of June. Acts chapter 3. It's amazing, wonderful, wonderful God. Thank God for the awesome things he does. Amen. You know, I was thinking sometimes, by now it should be in people's diaries. Amen. People should know. First Thursday is the School of Miracles. And why are we having the School of Miracles? Every meeting is important. But why are we having the School of Miracles? Because someday, sometime, you will need a miracle. Amen. And you will be used to miracles. Your faith will be stirred for miracles. In fact, your faith will stay stirred for miracles. That's the idea of having it at least on a monthly basis. So we teach along the line of faith, healing, miracles, so that your faith is always up there. Hallelujah. One of the shocking things or disappointing things is that sometimes people start to come to church when they have needs for miracles. That's when you see them in church. That's when you see them in service. And sometimes that is late. Are you with me? I said, are you there? We prepare for war in the time of peace. Amen. You learn to shoot your gun before there is war. So that you are prepared for it. If you wait to get ready when you need to be ready, then you are too late. Are you still with me? And that's why you should get exposed to this, you know, on a regular basis. Hallelujah. You know, on Sunday I'd been teaching on our invisible army. I just came from Ibadan. And somebody was sharing a testimony, you know, in church in Ibadan. I don't even know if she listened to the message. But she shared a testimony that I thought was wonderful. Armed robbers went to the estate, you know, went in, broke into. In fact, it was all over the news this week, if you heard the news. So she lived in that estate. So I don't need to say one or two. If you heard the news and you heard about armed robbers in an estate in Ibadan, that was it. In fact, when she told me, I said, in fact, I just said the name of the estate. I said, so that's where you live. I said, you are very popular. You are all over the news. You know. But it was more interesting, the divine intervention for her, because they entered several apartments. They entered her own apartment. And said they broke down the door, you know, and entered the place, opened door one, door two, got to the master bedroom where she was, and they did not even try to open the door. Then there was as they went past the place, she could hear them talking. She said she was kneeling by her bed praying and saying, God, send me your angels. In fact, Pastor PJ said she sent a message. When he saw the message, he replied, just said, just pray that he just replied. He didn't want to call so that the phone won't ring. He doesn't know what's going on there. And just said, just pray for angels to God's angels to help you out. You know, so he said she was there kneeling down. Then she got up trying to think, look, let me go and open the door.
so that they won't say, I didn't open the door. You know, they were already shouting, if you don't open the door, you know, all over the place, we will deal with you. Just open your door, you know. So she thought, let me just go and open the door so that there will be no serious harassment. So, but she got up, she wanted to do that, and she felt, you know, a leading to say, no, where are you going? Stay where you are. So she went back and knelt down again and just continued praying. And instead they got there, they did not even try the door where she was. And not only so, there was a window opening to the corridor. You know, they passed the place, looked in the window, flashed their torchlight in the place, looked, and then just continued and went out through the back door. So he said even when the police came, they were asking, okay, so what happened to you? What did they do to you? Did they beat you? Blah, blah. I said, no, they didn't. They said, where were you? I was here. They said, no, where were you? Because there's no way they wouldn't have seen you, you know. And what I was remembering when, as he shared that, and I said, well, what I remember was the angels just put their hands all over their eyes. Hallelujah. I said, spiritual things are real. Are you there? Acts chapter 3. So now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of a temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, look at us. So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the Beautiful gate of a temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch, which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this, or why look so intently at us, as though by our own power or godliness, the Old King James says, or holiness, we have made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just, and asked for a murderer to be granted to you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God raised from the dead, of which we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yes, the faith which comes through him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Well, let me begin by saying that this was the healing of a man. I'm speaking on what I tagged qualified for miracles. Qualified for miracles. Can I hear you say qualified for miracles? And I have a simple thought. Actually, it's simple, but it's been on my mind for some weeks since last month. And I was attending Vine Branch Anniversary Convention this week. But I knew I had to be back because I knew I had to say what was on my mind, you know, which is we are qualified for miracles. Amen. One of the first things you look at when you read the Bible like this is to see that what is written in here actually happened. This is not a parable. Are you there? This is for real. Somebody lame from his mother's womb got healed. I don't know if we can estimate the age of the man when he did get healed, but he got healed. Crippled from birth. And you have to only imagine what that guy would have looked like. You have to only imagine how, I mean, if you ever see anybody who's had an accident or whatever, or who is sick and doesn't move around, and you see, you know, and has not moved around for a year or more, you see what the limbs look like, you know, and how, if you were looking ordinarily, I'm just talking about the size of the miracle. You know, if you were looking ordinarily, even the size of the limbs would discourage you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Even just seeing the size of a limbs, you will be discouraged if you are not careful, you know, about believing God for a miracle. But God gave us a mind. He gave us an imagination for many reasons. One of which is so that we can stretch it and begin to believe him for the... One of which is so that we can begin to expand in our minds, begin to, as we rub our minds with God's mind in the scriptures, he to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we could ever ask or think. Some say ever ask or imagine. Can I hear you say imagine? So when you read this, you are supposed to imagine it and then understand and begin to see that God cannot just do what you could imagine. God can do exceeding abundantly above all. So, as an example, if I took this guy in Acts chapter 3, if I saw this guy, I would believe, I'm talking about me, I would probably believe that God can heal him. Are you there? But I would be... I'm thinking to myself that if this is true, it means that this and this can happen. It means that if I found myself in such and such a situation, confronted with such and such a case, then God can do it. You know, so instead of this guy just being here and walking and staggering, and maybe they're even supporting him, then he will. It's not. You are looking at us as if it is by our own power or holiness that we have made this man walk. And that's where we're really going. The fact that many people think that they are have enough power. How many people know what I'm talking about? People feel like, well, I don't have enough power, and I don't have enough holiness for me to expect those things. And for Peter to say, why are you looking at us as if it's by our own power or holiness? It means that power and holiness might really do have something to do with it. Are you following me? Or you are lost? Are you following me? Yeah. So Peter also saying that suggests that it has something to do with it. But don't be discouraged. That's what Peter was trying to tell them. Okay? Too often, people that God uses are not qualified to be used. When I say that, they are not qualified in the sense that we think they ought to be qualified. They are not qualified, humanly speaking. Are you with me? So when God called Moses, Moses said, there's no way I can go there. I'm too small and I can't even talk. That's what he told God. He said, I can't talk. I'm a stammerer. Why did you think that, what's his name? Aaron had to go with Moses. Because Moses said, God, I cannot talk. I can't talk. You say I should go there and tell Pharaoh, let my people go that they may go and serve me. He said, that in itself is a powerful message. But I'm going to go and face Pharaoh. So the sight of Pharaoh, you know, it's like when you take a public speaker, somebody who's a good public speaker, a motivational speaker, and then you put him on a stage where, let's say, it's the United Nations General Assembly and all the presidents of the world are standing there. I mean, they're all seated, and then you call this speaker to come and speak. You know that even that speaker has a tendency to shake. You know what I'm talking about? He said, yeah, I know how to speak, but man, the people I'm going to face, that better not be asleep. I'd better get it right. So the man who says, I'm a stammerer, says, then you are sending me to Pharaoh. My stammering will double, if you know what I mean. It will be too much. God said, I will be with you. That's what he told Moses. He said, I will be with you. So it's not about you. It's not about your ability. So Moses felt inadequate. Are you still there? Yeah. So I'm talking about the fact that, again, even Peter is suggesting the inadequacy. He was addressing what people would feel, how they would feel about themselves. And so he said to them, what do you think? You think we are special? That's what he was saying. When he says, do you think that it's by own power or holiness we have made this man walk? He was saying, do you think we are really special? Are you still with me? You know, when God called Saul, and they were going to anoint Saul as the king, the first king of Israel, Saul went to go and hide. He hid himself. He took the word of knowledge for Samuel to pick him out where he was. It was by the word of knowledge that Samuel found. Because the man said, Mike, my tribe is the smallest. So he was saying, by background, I don't qualify. Our family is small within the small tribe of Israel that I come from. So when they said they were doing, swearing in service, the man ran away. I'm just talking about the fact that when the people that God used, many of them are not qualified and do not feel qualified. Are you still there? Isaiah said, woe is me. Isn't it? He said, woe is me, Isaiah, prophet Isaiah. He said, woe is me. Even Jeremiah looked at God and said, no, I can't do it. But to every one of them, God basically reassured them and said, it's not about you. I will be with you. Are you still there? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Or 1 Corinthians chapter 1, rather. So one of the biggest obstacles is that people feel they are not qualified. For years now, I've challenged people, when you see the sick, pray for the sick. Amen. When you are in a place and things are upside down, ask them, can I pray with you? And don't just pray for prayer's sake so that they know that you are a Christian. Pray expecting miracles to happen. Pray expecting that something is going to turn around. Can I have an amen? And I remember years ago, one young lady worked in a clinic and having been stared that way, they brought in a child who was dying. And this lady decided, after everybody did everything, you know those dramas we do, put in spoon, pour milk, pour water, pour everything, you know, and then she just said, leave alone, let me pray. And laid hands and commanded life back in that child, and the child woke up. Are you still there? Okay, so 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. He said, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not to bring to nothing, the things that are. But no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and what? Righteousness and sanctification and redemption. That as it is written, let him who glories glory in the Lord. What's he saying? He's saying God's specialty and God's design is that he's going to use the unqualified. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And he said he does that by design. That's what the scripture is telling us. He does it by design. He has chosen the things that are weak. So it's a choice by God. And he did it, why? He said so that no flesh will glory in his presence. So that you don't walk away and say, wow, how great I am. How great I am. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know, but so that every time he does it, you look to him and say, how great thou art. Are you still there? Because you know that this was not you. Now go back to Acts chapter 3 and let's look at that phrase again. Acts chapter 3. And I think that's verse 12. So when Peter saw it, he responded to the people saying, what? Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why look so intently at us as though by our own power or godliness, we had made this man walk. Are you there? Now, if you look at what he said carefully, he's suggesting that power has something to do with it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He's suggesting that holiness has something to do with it. He's just saying it's not our own. Are you getting what I'm saying? He didn't say it's not by power or by holiness. He just said you are looking as if it's by our own power. He did not say power didn't have something to do with it. He just said it's not our own power that has something to do with it. He didn't say holiness didn't have something to do with it. He said it's just not our own holiness. Are you still with me? You know, and where this is important is this. Many of us feel, you know, I can't pray now because I don't feel powerful. Are you hearing what I'm saying? I don't feel powerful. As a matter of fact, I did not even have my quiet time this morning. I just said the Lord's Prayer and made the sign of the cross before I left the house. So how can you ask me to agree with you in prayer? You understand? Or you say, how come it's today that this kind of problem, this one now collapsed in the office. Yeah? The day that I did not pray very well at home, before I stepped out. Why not tomorrow? I was already planning how I was going to pray. Yeah, and fast. In fact, tomorrow is my fasting day. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Is it John 9? You don't need to open those ones. You can write them down. I think it's John 9 that there was also a man who was blind from birth. was blind from birth. And Jesus opened his eyes, and then when the Pharisees and all were asking about it, and they said, look, he must be a sinner. Then some people answered and said, even you know that sinners cannot do this kind of miracle. Sinners don't do this kind of miracles. Are you still there? So they were saying, look, we know that holiness plays a part. They were talking. So many times we get held back. We also feel like, am I not the same one who got, I lost my temper this morning? How can I pray now and expect God to answer now? Haven't just failed God. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? I'm saying to you tonight, by the leading of God, you know, most of the teaching and all that I do by inspiration. You know, I do by inspiration. It's not particularly step one, step two type teaching, but it's by inspiration. And so specifically, I know God is saying to you tonight that don't let such thoughts hinder you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Oh, yeah. We ought to do our best to live right. 1 John 3 tells us an important reason why that is so. He said, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. So even to protect my confidence before God, I try my utmost best to live right so that I can have confidence before God. But you have failed God. Then you pray. You say, God, forgive me. God has forgiven. Then something happens next and the devil tells you, now your type. You want to pray now your type? Are you still there? So if holiness has something to do with it, if power has something to do with it, and Peter did as much as admit that it does have something to do with it, he just said it is not our own. So whose own is it? He was saying by grace we have the holiness or righteousness we desire bestowed upon us. By faith we have the power given to us. Remember, the same Peter looked at that man and he says, silver and gold I do not have, but such as I have. Yet the same man is saying, you are looking at us as if it's by our own holiness or our own power. So what was he saying? He's saying, hey, we have it. It's not our own, but we still have it. Such as I have, I give to you. Are you there? Okay, so let's look at it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Second Corinthians chapter 5. So what you need to then remember, therefore, is that your righteousness is not by works. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Your righteousness is not by works. I can extend that and say, but your holiness is not by works and never will be. In fact, you will struggle to live holy until the day you admit what Christ did for you on the cross. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Until the day you get to the place where you actually admit that, you know what, this is what he did for me. You will keep struggling with sin because you are trying to deal with it with your willpower. You know what they say? What do they call it? Mind over matter. Positive thinking. Are you still there? You will fail and fall flat. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, the Bible says, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might what? Become. Are you still there? Become. Can I hear you say become? How many people have become an adult? How many people have become an adult? Yeah, you become an adult. Okay, can you become a child now? Huh? Become now? Huh? So what has happened? It says, he that knew no sin became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So I have become. Let someone say I have become. So, the devil can't convince me otherwise. I have become. I have now become the righteousness of God in. Let the devil play all the records of the past that he can play till he's tired as a DJ. Are you there? But I refuse to believe the lyrics. Are you with me? Because I have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Listen, Romans chapter 6 verse 11 then said, even in overcoming sin, what did he say? He said, you likewise reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin. Meaning that you have to have a mentality that accepts what Christ has done. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So what Peter was saying is that, hey, there is holiness involved. However, it is what has been given to us by what Jesus did on the cross. Are you with me? There's power involved, but it was given to us. The Bible says, and you shall do what? Receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. If I receive power after that the Holy Ghost came upon me, what am I looking for? Or what am I still looking for? Are you hearing what I'm saying? It will take me believing. Now go to Ephesians chapter 1. Go to Ephesians 1 and let's see. So I hope you get it. It's simple, but I hope you get it. That you have become. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And what that means is that when God looks at you, he looks through the price that Jesus has paid. He's not looking at you as you. He has to look through the lenses of the payment that has taken place, so he sees you as righteousness. Are you still there? James 5, while you are still there, you know, James 5 then said that, is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint him with oil and let them pray. Okay? He says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And, how many people remember what and is? How many people remember and? Andy, you remember and? And what? And if. If what? I'm giving you your journal. You know, it's terrible. When in those days in medical school, we do MCQ, you know MCQ, multiple choice questions. So like your objectives, so we do objective. Then you do written, essay. Then you do practical. Then we do Viva. Viva is oral exam. Then you come, you sit, there'll be 2-3 examiners seated. And I remember in the days of anatomy, they'll sit down and they'll put bones in front like this, bones. They say, welcome, doctor. Of course, you are far from being doctor. So when they say doctor, you know you're in trouble. You know, then the guy says, pick a bone. Pick a bone. You know that's where the question is coming from. So he's telling you, set your own exam. Pick a bone. Then you look very well. Look. Which bone do I know very well, very well, that I know everything about it? Then you pick one bone. I say, very good. What bone is that? He tells him, it's a femur, sir. I say, very good. What muscle arises from this place? Then you answer. I say, what blood vessel supplies it? Which nerve? So if he ask, then when he says, he asks you the question, say, which nerve supplies that muscle? He say, I know you know it. Tell us. It's called the end. It's giving you clue. Then as he says the end, and the clue is not working, you are shaking more. Because you feel that the man is helping me, and I still am not getting it, so he will finish me today. Okay, so where were we? And? Abby? Uh-huh. So, if he says what, let them pray over him, the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and by now you should have done spy. FBI. Nobody has spied. Wow. In all the while I was talking, nobody spied it. Eh? Ah, you're very holy people. He says, and if he has committed any sin, no, and the Lord will raise him up. And, again, and if he has committed any sin, it will be forgiven him. But he has not even said anything about the sin. The man has not confessed the sin. The man has not. Are you getting the point? Are you getting the point? 1 John 2, verse 1. These things I write to you, beloved, that you sin not. But if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself, don't worry, stay seated, everything works. Stay seated. Yeah, it says, and what? He himself is the propitiation. The word propitiation is the word payment. And he himself is the payment for our sins. So what he's describing there is that it says, do right, live right. Okay, so one, we're not saying don't live holy. We're not saying don't live right. We're not saying it's not important. It's very important. The instruction is live holy. He said, but in case anybody sins, don't fret. He said, we have an advocate with the Father. We have a lawyer, a defense lawyer with the Father whose name is Jesus Christ. He said, now the interesting thing about our lawyer is that the lawyer is the same one who paid for our sin. Meaning, the case cannot be lost. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He can't lose that case before God because he himself, that's what the Bible says, he himself was the payment for that sin. So there's no way you will not get justification before God. And you know what it means to be justified? Somebody said the simplest way to describe it is just as if I'd never sinned. Justified, just as if I'd never sinned. Hallelujah. Meaning that God restores me as if nothing happened. Every single time. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So remember that it's not as if it's by our own power or holiness. So we've spoken about the holiness side. And we said, yes, it's required. However, it's not my own. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 15. We've read this several times and many times prayed with it as one of those Pauline prayers. He said, therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. So this is what you are praying for. You are praying that your eyes will be enlightened. What do you want to know? The hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? What is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe? You know what he's saying there? He's not saying I'm asking for the power. I'm asking that I will have enlightenment, revelation, to know what power is already available to me, that I might know the exceeding greatness of his power towards us. So I just want to know it. I want to come to a reckoning. Lord, help me to come to a place where it is real to me what power already is given to me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So it says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us? According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is come. What is he saying? He's saying, help me to see that the same power in that same dimension, in that same quantity that raised Jesus from the dead despite opposition from all principality and power and dominion, help me to know that that same power is available to me. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And that is for you. Peter was praying that for the church in Ephesus. He wasn't saying, I'm praying for you that God will give you power. He said, I'm praying for you that God will help you to see what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards you, what already exists. Hallelujah. Okay, Acts 3, and let's try to wrap it up. Are you getting this? I said, are you getting this tonight? Is it clear? Okay, you are not sure. If Acts chapter 3, are you there? Okay, so it's not by our power. It's not by our own power or by our own holiness. So how did you do the miracle, Peter? How? He said in verse 16, and his name, true faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. That's how we did it. Are you still there? Now, let me say that simply and explain it. It goes hand in hand with what you will see in Mark chapter 16, verse 17, when he says, these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. What we have believed that to be, partly true, but that's not the entirety of it. In fact, that's not where the core power lies. What we have believed it to be is simply the fact that the sound of the name of Jesus, are you hearing what I'm saying? Is what the principalities and the power are afraid of. But it's a little beyond that. It's that when you come in somebody's name, you are that person. I don't know if you get it. So I was mentioning something about that on Sunday. That so when somebody came, in quote, and they said, oh, the minister sent somebody, that man came in the minister's name. So when he's there, to us, he's the minister. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So when they came and he said it is through faith in his name, he was saying when we come in that name and we tell him in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk, it's as good as Jesus Christ stood there. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So it's not about your qualification. It's about his qualification. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But you carry it. You wear his garment. You wear his toga. You wear his name. Therefore, you wear his identity. When it says in my name, they will cast out devils. It means that when I stand and I say in the name of Jesus, the devil sees Jesus. Are you still there? The devil sees Jesus and is shaking because this, in the name of Jesus. Now, if you want to understand that well, you understand it from Acts chapter 19, where if you compare that, the seven sons of Sceva, the Bible spoke about, they went and they wanted to do exorcism, which is casting out devils. So they went, they saw Paul, they saw Peter, they saw all of them doing and casting out devils. So the seven sons of Sceva also went and they stood around the demon-possessed person and they said, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, come out! And they said, not a joke. Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who be you? The Bible says, the devil, that devil in there, beat the guys, they ran out naked. So it wasn't just the sound. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It wasn't just the sound of the name, it's the fact that we have been, that's why it says, as many as received him, he gave power to be called sons of God. So there is something in being called the sons of God, you are being elevated. You have to be given the right to use the name. You have to be given the right to bear the name. But once you've given your life to Christ, you have that right. And when you come in that name, that's who the devil sees. The power of God, therefore, is at work in you and through you. The holiness and the righteousness of God is at work through you. and for you. Can I have an amen? Let's read, just by righteousness, just one more scripture is coming to me. Romans chapter 5. Let's read that before I stop. Romans chapter 5. And I tell you the truth, on Thursdays, you will get more truth that will ground you as a believer, I can guarantee you, than on Sundays. I'm serious about that. There are things that I taught on Thursday that I don't know, but somehow, not just here, but everywhere that I've seen, almost virtually every church that I know of, that what they will teach in a midweek service is the stuff that grows champions. So the Sunday is like the club morning, you know, where you do the excitement. But the Thursday, there may be no excitement, but the things they are looking at, the scriptures and all that, they are breaking down. They are just amazing. You know, in fact, one day, you know, I was watching the midweek service in Ibadan, and Dr. Fayan was teaching. I told him after, I said, I was glued watching the thing, because even the topic was A-level. When I knew the topic was teaching, I said, he's playing with this topic. This is difficult stuff to teach. But my God, the simplicity, the explanation, I was tremendous. So if I went, I was confessing, and I said, I caught that, you know, and I stayed there listening. I said, is this what he wants to teach? You know, Pastor Bidi said he too felt the same way. But the simplicity with which he navigated and explained things, wow. You listen to some of those things, you become a solid believer. Are you still there? The Bible says, Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, having been what? Justified by faith. That is what you must never forget. Justified by faith. We are justified by faith, not by works. We are justified by faith. That's what he was saying, and saying it's not by our own holiness. We are justified by simply believing God and believing in the sacrifice Jesus has made for us. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him also, we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory, seeing the fullness. We rejoice in the hope of seeing the fullness of God in manifestation. That's my simple definition for glory of God. Seeing the fullness of God in manifestation. But how does it start? It starts with being justified by faith. Therefore, we have confidence. We have peace with God. And we stand in this grace. And then we have a hope of a glory. Hallelujah. So I came to say to you tonight, I don't feel qualified is okay. You're in good company. You're in the company of all of the greats of the Bible. They didn't feel qualified. Amen. But thank God even much more for the new covenant. Hallelujah. Thank God for the new covenant in Jesus' blood, whereby we have been justified. Hallelujah. Whereby we have the power of God, and we have a confidence that the power of God is at work in us and through us, and we have a confidence that we walk in holiness, even also by the power of God at work in us. Let's stand to our feet. So we are qualified to be merchants of miracles. So don't ever let any such thoughts hold you back. Don't ever be discouraged. It doesn't matter what you feel like. Believe in the sacrifice that Jesus has made. And therefore believe that God will answer your prayers. You'll answer you. might be healing miracles, whatever. You want prayers tonight, just come to the front. Thank you, Lord. Legadosa, Mambela, Kadosa, Bredishta, Bahande. Yeah, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, that's it all over you already. That's it all over you already. I can feel it flowing and flowing and just take it. You know, many times also people get in their minds, they're thinking about falling or not falling. Just take it in, just take it in. Forget about all of that. Just take it in. People don't fall, receive miracles, and people fall and receive miracles. So just take it in. Legadosa, Pradoshta, Bekesa, Pradishta, Bahata. I feel it already. I feel the weight of the glory of God. The weight of the glory of God. Yes. Legadosa, Pradose, Belishta, Brande, Sefe, Kato, Sapradoshta. Lega, Sopro, Costo, Feledi. Legle, Esto, Brando, Sofredishta, Bahata. Legagashta, Braco, Sofredishta, Bahande. Legegegesto, Freddy. Just hold my hands. I'm not even asking what's wrong with anyone. But the power of God will descend that. Yeah, that's it flowing right through you. Flowing right through you. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, increase that voltage. Legadosa, Pradoso, Fredishta, Bacadoso, Vesta, Brasa, Fradoso, Fredishta, Legagasta, Brande, Sefecadosa, Freddy. Stop praying and just receive it. Just stop praying and receive it. Prados of Fredista, Brandos of Fred, and Ghost of Fredista, Bakle, Kesto, Brandos of Freddy. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let your mighty hand rest upon him. Let it rest upon him. Yeah, let it rest upon him. Legad also, Brandos of Fredista, Marusoko Paledes, touch. Jesus, touch the bow. Legal also finished. Magra has to friend also finished. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There's something about the atmosphere like this that you can just take it in. Just take it. God's touch flows right through. Stronger in the name of Jesus. touch. Touch, touch, touch. Legalabosa Brando Sofrenishta Bahane. Le Paso Promo Sofrenishta Bahata. Your prayer. Sickness, you know, years ago in church, and I told her, I said, every single time I feel like I would call you and lay hands upon him, and I do that repeatedly. She went to the clinic, she said, they said, well, they don't know what's going on, but something is happening to you. Your stats are fantastic, your health statistics are great. We don't know what is going on, but I just, I said, every single time I lay hands upon you, don't get tired, keep taking it, because something happens. Something happens. Your presence, your presence, Lord, is ever to me. There'll be a laughter coming forth out of your belly, and just enjoy it and flow with it. and you go forward, you go backwards, you go, this is the way I need to go, this is what I need to do, and you do it for a while, but you get discouraged. You get discouraged. But receive grace to be steady, to do the things, not new things, but to do the things you know that you need to do, and that you have even done before, and you knew those were the things to be done. But grace comes upon you even tonight, and you will do them and not falter. Yeah, that's God's power all over you now.
Yeah, that's it.
That's the grace. Yeah, that's the grace. That's the grace. Lay God also. Yeah, Gabala Bangata Lava Yahata Bala also proposed. Seeing that a significant miracle has happened. Significant miracles have happened. Significant breakthroughs have happened. That cannot be denied, they said. There are things that have happened tonight that cannot be denied. that you'll look back and say, yeah, tonight, that night, something turned. Something changed. Let's begin to give God thanks. Let's begin to give God praise. Let's begin to appreciate Him. Let's thank Him. Let's thank Him. Let's thank Him. Lord, we are grateful. We don't take you for granted at all. Shaka bosa bananes te palako solo repasto predista bakata. Ay 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 ay. Lege 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 lege. Always difficult to close a meeting like this. Always difficult. Always difficult. Always difficult. Like a kelabashta bahane. Yabala kosta. Rando sokotoya. Like a also. Medishta. It's like a promotion in the things of the spirit. The spirit of seeing and knowing. That's what I kept perceiving. The spirit of seeing and knowing. Your spiritual perception heightens even from tonight, and your spiritual experience is going on another level, going on another level. The encounters of the God kind, the encounters of the God kind that you will have, but it comes with responsibility. Comes with responsibility. His mighty hand rests upon you. It comes with responsibility. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. 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 Yeah, I just felt it there. I just felt it there. I just felt that release upon you. That release upon you. And it's not just for you, it's for those around you. For out of your belly shall flow rivers. Say why should it turn water to wine? Why is that? Couldn't you have done something else? He knows what he's doing. The Bible says it was to show forth his glory. So there are things you will see here and happen. We won't understand it, but we will later when the person tells you what happened to them. When the people experience that transformation, then we'll know what it is. Yeah. financial multiplication. Financial multiplication. Financial multiplication. Supernaturally. Within some of it, you won't see how come. You just know you have more money in the account. It's the same salary, but somehow your expenses seem to have reduced or whatever, but you are doing much more. You are achieving much more. You are achieving much more. Why? Because the grace of God abounds towards you, and that grace is able to make you sufficient in all things and to give to all good causes, the Bible said. So I see even financial miracles, multiplication. Let's give him praise tonight. Let's thank him tonight. Let's thank him tonight. It's invaluable what God does amongst us. It's invaluable, I tell you. It's invaluable. We can't pay for it. We can even hardly pray for it. But it's his goodness. It's out of his goodness, out of his mercy, out of his loving kindness. So let's tell him we're grateful. Let's tell him we don't take anything for granted. Let's tell him we appreciate him. We appreciate the manifestations of his spirit. We appreciate the glory of God. Sometimes what you just get is refreshing. You just know you feel refreshed. You know you feel strengthened. Sometimes you are just fired up. And you know that there is a spiritual organ that has been birthed within you. You can't buy that with money. That spiritual hunger, if well nurtured, will take you miles for miles and miles ahead of where you are now. But you can't buy it with money. So many great things that God does for us. Father, we thank you. Father, we are grateful. Lord, we exalt you. We thank you. In Jesus' name. Find where you sit quietly if you can. If you can't, don't worry, it's okay. It's a Holy Ghost loving church, so it's fine.
Hallelujah. For as many of us that can, let's give our offering. Let us thank God, worshiping. This is not a compulsion. It's an understanding of who God is to you. And so when we give, it says of free will. Hallelujah. And we give to the Lord. Out of that which has blessed us with, so he has caused us. Thank him and worship him.